Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Excited about the ministry today. And what I have in my heart from the Lord, I believe, to minister at the end of the service. Be worth sticking around for. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. I love all the different ways the Holy Spirit moves, but what is always paramount is what Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Amen. That's first. Amen. Preach the word. Not your opinion, not your conviction, but preach the word. So that's what I intend to do today as we're turning to 1 John chapter 2. We'll bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for this moment in time. Thank you, Father, that you have planned it, purposed it, ordained it, that all who represent sheep in your flock, one big spiritual family. But God, there are many folds in the earth today. And you said, Father God, that you will draw us from where the world and sin had driven us and bring us to our own fold. And that you will set up shepherds or pastors over them to feed them with knowledge and understanding. Father God, what a humble thing to me to know today that that's my responsibility before you, is to feed your people the Word of God with knowledge and with understanding. And before them, I know how awe-inspiring that is to stand before your people, the apple of your eye, a blood-bought people, is a high and holy thing. Help me, Father, to be an able minister this morning of the New Testament and cause utterance to flow freely out of my mouth. I've already prayed, God, and believing that the people's answers and wisdom, that which they need right now today, will be found in my mouth this morning. But God, I do also understand that the utterance is greatly affected by the hearer. And so I'm praying and believing that, God, everyone in this place, everyone watching, that they'll draw, they'll pull. They know they have a part to play in the plan of God coming to pass. And we're in faith about it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So for a number of weeks, at the Lord's direction, it has been in my heart to minister on the will of God. And I want to repeat something that the Lord said to me some years ago. I didn't hear an audible voice or anything like that, but very distinctly, where he lives down on the inside of me, I heard him say, "Son, you have health and you have wealth," meaning you have a supply flowing into your life financially and materially. He said, "You have peace, you have joy, you have fulfillment, you have my protection, you have the angels, you have a wife that loves you, you have kids that love God, you have all these things." Why? "Because you're in my will." Amen? Amen. Then he finished it by saying, "Teach others that they can have the same." They can have the same thing. How do you know the Bible says in multiple places that our God is not a respecter of persons? What he will do for one, he will do for another. Yes, that's right. Amen. Amen. What he will do for one, he will do for another. Praise God. And God wants all of you to have health. Yes. He wants all of you to have health. Yes. Amen. He wants all of you to have a supply flowing into your life financially and materially. If you desire a spouse, he wants you to have one, a good one. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen. And I believe the same is true for a wife that finds a good husband. Amen. And the Bible says that he daily loads us up with benefits, with blessings. Think about that. Daily. He said, "I've set aside daily a load of blessings for my people." Hallelujah. That's good, because as my friend Reverend Richard Roberts says, he says, life is so daily. Have you figured that out? Life is so daily. Thank God for what he did yesterday, but I need him today. I need his protection today out on these country roads and crazy people and distracted drivers and all of that, right? Thank God we have the angels and his protection. Glory to God. But to enjoy God's desires in all that he planned and purposed and made available for us in this earth, it requires, like my daughter was saying, our participation and our cooperation. Amen. And so he said to me, teach others that they can have the same. And he reminded me of that in a strong way about 5 weeks ago. And he said, make a new and fresh appeal to my people to know my will and to do my will. Amen. You know, Christians have not made the plan of God, the will of God, as big of a deal as they need to. The plan of God is everything. If we're just biding our time after we get saved, that's not, then God would have just been better to just, the moment we accepted Jesus into our life, to just individually rapture us out of here and take us home. But he did not do that. He left us here. You want to know why? Because he's got a plan. Yes. He has a purpose for every one of our lives. Hey, listen, you may not know who your biological father or mother were, but that does not mean that God did not have a plan for your life. Before this earth ever took form and shape, before it ever responded to his creative voice, God saw you. God saw you, and he saw your life, and he authored a great plan for your life. Amen. And nothing you could ever dream, nothing you could ever conjure up or come up with for yourself on your own for your life could touch or compare the things that God has set aside and made ready for you if you'll follow him. I said, if you'll follow him. Amen. To have your way in this life is to settle for far less than what you could have. Getting your way is one of the most overrated things on this planet. And to insist on having your way at the expense of God having his way in your life is paramount to you telling God you're smarter than him. You know better than him. It is the height of pride and arrogance to say to God, I know better. The Bible says it this way in a couple of different passages. Does the clay say to the potter, why have you made me this way? No. Amen. It's like my wife said last week to you, you did not create yourself. Amen. And you are not sustaining your own existence. The Bible says in Acts 17 that it's in him. Not you, in him, not medical science, in him, not your supplements, in him that we live and that we move and that we have our very being. Amen. The Bible says God is the strength of our heart. Yeah. Amen. Aren't you glad? He's faithful. You're going to get another heartbeat, I trust, before this service ends. Amen. In the next moments. Praise God. And so, but we're not like that. I believe that I'm in the midst of a company of people who is highly interested in the will of God. During this series, I got to talking to God about what he said to me. You have all these things because you're in my will. I said, Father, I know that there are many scriptures that would substantiate that, but I'd like you to give me one. And he gave me Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36 as a scripture that substantiates scripturally what I said that God said to me. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:36 that you have need of patience. How many of you know that's true? You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you will inherit the promises. Amen? Anybody, I know we don't have it on the screen right now, and that's okay, but I'll quote that to you, or you could turn to it. For you have need of patience. For after you have done the will of God, then, it's implied, you will inherit the promises. Amen? So the promise of health, the promise of my God shall supply, the promise of the peace that passes all understanding. Amen? These all come to the one who perseveres, to the one who has patience, and notice, these things are linked to doing the will of God for your life. Amen. So many Christians live their life outside of God's will. And then when a disease gets a hold of their body and they go to praying for healing and they get the prayer chains going and they get the church prayer group going and they get the Facebook prayer community going, and who knows what they're praying? Who knows what they're praying? I don't ask people that I don't know to pray for me. I mean, this is free. This is not in my notes. But Brother Hagin said this. He said, more Christians have died because somebody prayed than any other one reason. Very few people on this planet know how to pray according to God's will with any faith at all. Most of the prayers going up, trying to ascend up into the atmosphere, are about on the level of twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. God, if it be your will, please help me. Like here's one of those prayers. Lord, be with. Now just look straight ahead. You know, don't act like, don't duck your head. Because almost everyone in here has prayed that.
That's right.
Lord, be with. Well, are you born again or are you not?
I am.
I mean, he's living on the inside of you. How much closer could he get? Even under the old covenant, David said, where could I go from your presence? I can't hide from God anywhere. Do you see what I mean? People are sincere, but they're wrong. They're sincerely wrong. But anyway, they have problems in their life. Let's say sickness and disease, and they're calling out to God, and it's getting no better. In fact, it's getting worse. And people end up saying it got worse and the healing didn't come because it was God's will. Well, and this brings me to something I've been meaning to say. There are two great deceptions and lies in the body of Christ and in the world today about God's will. Number one is that everything that happens is the will of God. That's a huge lie. It's a deception. If it happened, God willed it. Well, here's that thinking expressed in a way that you're more familiar with. You know, God, I really need this job and I want this job, and if you want me to have it, I know I'll have it. And if you don't want me to have it, then if I don't get it, I'll know you didn't want me to have it. That's unscriptural thinking. I said, that's unscriptural thinking. The other great deception out there is you cannot know the will of God. God is too big, he's too vast, he's too great, he's too mystical, and there's just no way that the human life, brain, heart could know what God's will is. Well, we should judge such thinking and such teaching in the light of the Bible. So let's all take time. If you brought your Bible, you got a device, you got a phone, let's turn over to Matthew 6, because I don't want you to, you know, I'm just a humble Okie from Muskogee. And you don't want, remember Jesus said, well, the Bible said, Peter said to Timothy by the Spirit, he said, preach the word. Amen. Well, let's deal with this number one. Is everything that happens God's will? When we moved into our new home about 11 years ago, one of the first things that happened was great. We met one of our neighbors, and a precious man, and a child of God. And he said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor here in town. He said, oh, okay. And so we got to talking a little bit about what we believe and different things. And he said, well, here's the way I believe it. I couldn't be convinced otherwise. And when he said that, I didn't try to convince him. He said, this is the way I see it. I am just a shade lower than a computer or a robot. Everything that happens is God's will. Whether I live, whether I die, whether it goes good or bad. Car accident. He said, I'm just a shade lower than a puppet on a string. Sad. Listen to me. If everything is God's will, why have faith? Where is the role of faith? Why pray? Anything that happens, everything that happens is going to happen because ultimately God willed it. Why pray? And yet the Master, in his Sermon on the Mount, instructed us to pray. Matthew chapter 6, you there? Matthew chapter 6, and again I'm in a new Bible. Verse number 9. So the disciples said, teach us how to pray. How do we pray? And Jesus said it this way. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which, y'all remember this one? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name, thy kingdom come. What's the next phrase? Thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. And who said that? Jesus did. He's deity. He's God. Why would God tell us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if everything that happens on earth, no matter what, was ultimately the will of God? Christianity would just be disqualified if that were true, if that thinking were true, because it doesn't fit what Jesus said. Well, let me ask you, how much today is going on the earth that is not going on in heaven? Come on, is there a whole lot? A whole lot. Is there anyone sick in heaven?
No.
I mean, this one thought will clarify so much confusion. Is it God's will for anyone on the earth to be sick then?
No.
Is anyone sick in heaven? No, that's unthinkable. And Jesus said, pray, people, pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Any deception? No. Any depression?
No.
No. Tragedy?
No.
No. Hunger?
No.
Foreclosures?
No.
You imagine ever being foreclosed on your heavenly mansion? No. Listen, guys, let's just use our noodle. Use our noodle a little bit. There's a whole lot going on the earth that is not the will of God. Yes, it has to be so because God is sovereign. Listen, honey, God is sovereign. And in His sovereignty, He put man in the earth and said, you're in charge. You have dominion. And Adam turned around straight away and handed the keys of the kingdom over to the devil. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan is the god, little g, of this world. Now, it won't always be that way. It will not always be that way. Jesus showed up. Aren't you glad He showed up in John 10:10? And John recorded it, said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the only reason He comes. But I have come that you might. Might. What does might mean? Might. You might. You maybe. And it's not up to Him. Whether you might or might not go to heaven is not up to Him. It's up to you. Hallelujah. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So to pray as Jesus said to pray. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is a waste of breath if ultimately everything that happens is God's will. Now I know you might be thinking about Grandma and you might be thinking about Uncle Joe and how earnestly they prayed and yet it didn't come to pass. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. God loves Uncle Joe. He loves Auntie May. Amen. But if there is a promise in the Word that was unmanifest, unrealized in someone's life, it was not because God promised it in the Word and then changed His mind in your case.
Amen.
God never has failed to heal someone that was truly in line to receive it. What did He say to me? You have health and you have wealth and you have this and you have that. Why? Because you're in my will. Honey, this is what I'd ask you. Are you in the will of God for your life?
Amen.
Listen, every step outside of God's will for your life is a step onto the devil's territory. What would be another stronger, kind of unpopular way to describe being out of God's will? Sin. Good word. That's the one I was thinking about. Disobedience. Disobedience. What'd you say? Which is sin. Well, what does the great Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 say? Visitors, this is just kind of how we roll here. Hope this is okay. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, guaranteed. No matter what happens, no matter what you do. No. And it shall come to pass if what? If you shall hearken, listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. What's it all predicated on? If who? If God wills? No, that's never been true. It's never been true. It didn't start becoming true just because you started coming to this church. This principle's been true back when I was hearing it preached the other way in my other church. I'll never forget being in that service where that gal got up, precious, not making fun of her at all. She got up and she said, well, in our testimony service, she said, I found out today, everyone, why God gave me cancer. Now, I'm a baby Christian. I had no reason to believe anything different, except I had a Holy Spirit in me. And when she said that, my insides went, woo. But you know, people, precious, they believe this. They wouldn't have it if it wasn't God's will, because God is controlling everything. Listen, if our God is controlling everything, He's got stuff in a mess. He has got stuff in a mess. You really want to follow a leader that's got stuff in such a mess? Not me. But God, He gave this. Don't make me go to Psalm 8. I'm trying to go someplace else. God made man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? And He made him and crowned him with glory and honor, and gave him dominion over all the works of his hands. Listen, if I went on a ministry trip and I said, Pastor Amber, you're in charge for the next 6 days, and I came back and it was all in a mess, amen. Well, I got one person to look to. It's not my fault. I authorized, I delegated authority and dominion and all the ability, right? We shouldn't blame God. Man did this. And the devil did this. Insurance companies, they've got it wrong. Acts of God. What do you mean, acts of God? Volcanoes and tornadoes. And these are not acts of God. Pastor, why are you just... Well, because we got to get this, get this settled. Listen, anyway, this lady said, I found out today, finally, why God gave me cancer. And she said, I went into my local hospital for my regularly scheduled chemotherapy treatment. And as I was there, I was there with two other precious women and led both of them to the Lord. So I give God glory. I would not have been there had God not given me cancer. Well, listen, I have good news for you. God has not given anybody cancer. Where would He get it? There's no sickness up there. I heard in those same testimony services, God gave me this to teach me something. Teach you something. What would we do? What would DHS do if I injected you with the black whatever plague? He said, now I have the antidote. When you learn the lesson, I'll give it to you. What would DHS do? Lock me up. Why is it so quiet in here? People are thinking. People are thinking. Now, don't think I've just lived some charmed life and no tragedies ever affected me. I watched both my grandfathers suffer and die because of cancer. In my dad's case, my dad's dad, the day Grandpa died, we had him in a hospice room there in the living room up in Oberlin, Kansas. We were all there. My grandpa was so low, my dad wouldn't leave his bedside. My dad was a baby Christian at that time. And he had been on at least one mission trip and had seen over in Trinidad, just as a baby Christian, he'd put his hands on people that he said had tumors this big, hanging off the side of them, that would just instantly disappear. So my dad was hot and on fire, and he believed in healing at that time, right? And so when my grandpa got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, my dad was just sure, confident, that God was going to heal him. And yet Grandpa just went down to death's door. And you're troubled by that, right? You love your family. I don't know how anyone looks at the suffering and calls that God. Anyway, so my grandpa's on that morphine fog moment. And I won't even say that. But anyway, once they give you that at those doses, you're basically, they're going to let the morphine kill you instead of the cancer just to keep you out of pain. I'm not sharing my opinion with you on that. But you don't come out of that. Well, all of a sudden, my grandpa sits straight up in bed, totally coherent, looks at his son, my dad, and said, "Son, I'm going to tell you something I've never told another human being. When I was 5 years old, I was molested by another man, and I have never forgiven my abuser." And he let that go, and he laid back in his bed and pillow with kind of a smile on his face and died and went to heaven. Now, do you get it? If you don't get it, I'm going to explain it to you. My dad was such a baby Christian, this was a miracle of God's mercy to cause my grandpa and to give my grandpa the grace. See, no one knew. No one knew what had been done to him, and the bitterness and the resentment and the hurt that he carried with him all those years. That's a horrible atrocity that was afflicted on a very young boy of no fault of his own. Amen. But the unforgiveness prevented God from being able to answer his and all of our prayers. Where's the scripture for that? I'm glad you asked. Mark 11:24 says, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them." Verse 25 says, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any. For if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." Do you get it? There was a reason why God could not. He'd have to break His word to intervene and heal my grandpa under those conditions. But the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God helped, I believe, number one, my grandpa to not enter eternity with that bitterness in his heart. And for his son, a young believer, to not have his dad take that secret to the grave and always think God failed when God did not fail. Anytime we say, "Well, I know," honey, you don't know. We don't know. Some things belong to that person and to God. What we know and what we must hold fast to is the book. God is not a man that He should lie. And if there is any way, my God, my Heavenly Father, Jesus, who bore all those stripes in His body so that my grandpa could be healed, if there was any open door, any way at all that God could have done it on legal grounds, He would have done it. I said He would have done it. See, these things, this is real life. This is real Christianity. This is real understanding. And we can't just get religious and ascribe every hurt and every failure and every disappointment that we've ever had in life up to God and His will. There's a lot going on this planet that is not God's will. One day, everything that happens on this planet will be God's will. But that'll take the millennium. That'll take a rapture. It'll take a 7-year tribulation. It'll take the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and His army to set up a government that upon His shoulders will have no end. Oh, we look forward to that day. But until this day, we are living in the world. We are not of the world. Amen. And for God to be able to do everything for us that He wants to do, we need to live inside the center of His will for our lives. There's longevity in His will. There's divine supply in His will. Amen. There's every job, every house, every car, every bill paid, every deliverance, every angelic rescue, everything that you need to live God's highest. I'm preaching good this. God's best in your life is found in the will of God. But every step you take outside the will of God, you're making it harder for Him to reach your life with His power, with His love, with His blessing. Amen. So with the remaining time I have, I want to, if you'll go with me to Romans chapter 12, I want to just give you a nugget or two for all of us so that we could be reminded or for the first time learn, how do I unlock the knowledge of God's specific, unique will and purpose for my life? You know, we've heard for several minutes now how important what is riding on you and I being in the will of God. Well, how can I know the will of God for my life? Amen? You know, there's no scripture that I could turn to say that says Zephaniah 3:12, Mary, Susanna on such and such day. Right? There are principles in the Word. But we need the unique and specific. Everyone say specific. We need the specific will of God for our lives. Amen. Well, remember that goes back to that other lie. A lot of people don't believe that you can even know it. That it can't be known. Well, I'm going to give you a scripture, but I'm going to move right on into this. In Ephesians 5:17. Paul, by the Spirit, says to the church at Ephesus that they are to be being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And they are to look, to walk carefully, to walk circumspectly. That means carefully, accurately, precisely, not being fools. Not being fools, but wise. So what is a wise person? The next phrase says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. If so much is riding on me being in God's will, then He has to be fair, He has to make provision for me to know His will. Yeah. If His will cannot be understood, then it would be unfair and unjust of God to hold you or me responsible for walking in His will. Right. But the Bible says in Ephesians 5, around verse 15, 16, 17, on through down in those verses, that it's unwise to walk around in this planet and not know what the will of the Lord is. He said, it's wise, it's wisdom to know, to understand what the will of the Lord is. In Ephesians 1, Paul's prays this prayer for all the church. He says, Father, I pray that You'll give every Christian the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You, that they might have the eyes of their understanding enlightened, that they might know. That they might know what? What is the hope of Your calling for their life? Why would the Spirit of God inspire this great apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament to pray a prayer that God refuses to answer? That just sounds stupid. But God is not stupid. He's a genius. Amen. Paul prayed for the Colossians. He said, Oh, Father, fill this group with the knowledge of Your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding that they might walk worthy of You. Fully pleasing You. See, the only way to walk worthy of God and to fully please God is to know what His will is and walk in it. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1 and 2, we've been covering these verses a little bit. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. It just occurs to me that I never read my opening scripture, 1 John. That's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at this. That you may prove. Or that word, I like to use the word that you may see. The Greek word literally means to discern or to put to the test. Like gold, put it to the test to make sure, is it real, is it not? So listen, I'm having to accelerate to the end here. The will of God for your life cannot be learned. It must be discerned. Did you get that? The will of God cannot be determined by anything outside you. You cannot look at your circumstances and find the will of God. Wrong place to search. What's God's will? Well, I got denied by these three colleges. I got accepted by this one, so that must be God's will. No, it could be that none of them are God's will. You cannot, I'm going to show you this in a minute, you cannot find the will of God looking anywhere in the realm of the five physical senses. It's not there. It's not there. Amen? You have to be able to qualify even to see it. Not all Christians are even putting themselves in a position where they can see, prove, discern the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. We went over this in a previous lesson, but just to quickly restate it, what do you have to do? We have to do the word. What did he say do? Present your body to God. Amen. Make a solemn, serious decision that you're going to use your body for right and holy things, and you're not going to present your body to unholy and ungodly things. You're going to make a willing sacrifice of your body and you're going to make it a holy temple unto the Lord. Amen. That means you're going to stop going places you go.
Right.
You're going to stop looking at things you're looking at.
Right.
You're going to stop listening to things you're looking at.
Amen.
You're going to stop befriending people that you're currently befriended with.
Right.
You're going to present your body to God.
Amen.
Nobody can do it but you.
Right.
But then he said, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So listen, everybody, the unrenewed mind is blind. The unrenewed mind is blind to the will of God. If God gave you a glimpse of revelation concerning the will of God, Jalen, for your life, but your mind is unrenewed, your unrenewed mind will go, no. That's crazy. Too much pizza and Pepsi. That could never be that. So God withholds the revealing of His will until your mind is sufficiently renewed so that you could even have the capacity to, in your mind, say yes to what He would reveal to you. The unrenewed mind is blind to the will of God. So if you want to unlock the divine knowledge of the will of God for your life, you need to present your body and then be daily about the work of renewing your mind. In other words, you have to think different.
Yes.
You have to think different. You have to come to church and start paying attention.
Amen.
And y'all are all doing good.
Amen.
Amen. There's a few people hoping for, you know, a quick ending here. Amen. And I'm going to grant you your heart's desire here in just a moment. Amen. Praise God. But you need to look at those scriptures and see that. If you really are interested in knowing God's good and acceptable and ultimately the perfect will of God for your life, You have to understand that the unrenewed mind is enmity against God. It's opposed to God. It fights against God and everything that God wants. And we all come into the kingdom of God with an unrenewed mind. How many of you know when you got saved, you got that same, if you were bald-headed, you were bald-headed after. If you were larger when you got saved, you're still large. You know, if you're skinny, you're still skinny. Your spirit's what got recreated. Amen. Let's go to our last passage for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So a book over to the right. Actually, not chapter 12, but chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. So you can make the unseen seen. You can make the unknown known by doing your part.
Amen.
Doing right things with your body. And constantly working at renewing your mind. How would you do that? You spend a lot of time in the mind of God. The Bible is a written expression of the mind of God.
Yeah.
This is data. This is a USB-C drive. Plug it in.
Amen.
Delete the old files.
Yeah.
Download some new thoughts.
Yeah.
About marriage. About relationships, about finances,
amen.
And don't just read the Bible to say you read it. Read the Bible and say, whoa, wait a minute, that seems like that's standing up a little bit. And then stop. Well, I'm supposed to read 5 chapters a day. Who told you that? That'd be good. But if you get, stay right there. Stay right there. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for he shall receive the crown of life. The crown of life. If I endure temptation. Let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. Yeah, okay. The next time you're tempted, I'm going to resist that. I'm going to get over on the other. I'm not going to yield to that thing. I'm heading towards a crown of life. And you just, how can I put this scripture to practice? How can I make this scripture? You see, the goal is to put the scripture in you and you in the scripture. And you just dismiss your mind if you need to and just say, that's what it says. God is always right. That's how I live from now on. You'd just be amazed. And you just keep doing that and you begin to think different. And then all of a sudden you're praying, you're talking to God, or you're in His Word, and all of a sudden something floats up out of your spirit that happens to be the will of God for your life. And all of a sudden you go, I know what to do. I know what direction to head. I know what's right in that situation. Praise God. And you begin to walk this journey and live this life. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll end this right here. So it says in verse 9, this is a refrigerator scripture. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in to the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Okay, stop. Has God prepared some things for those that love Him? Do you love Him?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Well, can you come into the knowledge of what He has prepared with your eye?
No.
You cannot. See what I mean? You can't use your eye to discern and judge what's God's will and what's not. You cannot. Can you do it with your ear? You cannot. And it says, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. Now that phrase always bothered me. What do you mean, not in my heart? Well, I like how Kenneth Wiest, a famed Greek scholar, said it. If I could find it. Yeah, I don't take time to do it. But his translation says basically, what eye hasn't seen, what ear heard, won't bubble up from the heart until you do a certain thing. In other words, it's in you, but it won't bubble up to enlighten your mind so that you could know it. So you can't do anything until the knowledge of God lands on your mind. We're not led by our mind, but our mind has to be enlightened for us to act on anything. Right? But the knowledge of God, the plan of God, is in your spirit. And we'll prove that to you right here. Look at verse 10. It says, but God has revealed. He's revealed what? What you cannot find with your eye. What you will never discern with your ear. God has revealed that very thing. I said, God has revealed that very thing unto us. How did He do it? By His Spirit. Where is His Spirit? It's a lot of right answers, right? He's everywhere. But He's in you, most importantly. Where in you? In your spirit. What's that scripture you preached? That he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. Is that right? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Jesus, with God. That's in Romans. Amen. So praise God. Don't quit on me here. Let's persevere. Let's finish. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Now this can become a word salad in verse 11, but it's so important that you understand it. For what man knows the things of a man, save or except the spirit of a man which is in him? So you can't know the things about your life except by accessing it where it is. Amen? Which is in your spirit. Well, just so the same way, he says, even so the things of God knoweth no man, except or save the Spirit of God. Nothing's lost to him. Right. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Look at that. That we might know. Yeah. That we might know. Do you see that, Brother Landon? That we might know. Yes. Hugh, did you see that? That we might know. So you could put that verse on your refrigerator all you want. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has God put it into the heart of man. The thing, see, I just told you, you can never know what God's going to do. And totally forget verse 11, 10, all those verses that come after. He's just saying, stop looking out here for the will of God. Look here. God put the plan, His plan, in your spirit. And then when you got born again, oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit, who knows everything about God and you, is in your spirit. And He gave us not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, that we might know, not guess, not wonder, not hope, but know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. Verse 14. Skip down. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. See, if you want to keep the knowledge of God's plan unseen, unknown, and locked away, inaccessible, all you have to do is be carnal. Be natural. If you neglect your spiritual development, you'll stay dominated by your flesh. And it's all blind to the things of the Spirit. Yeah. Only by committing to your spiritual growth and development can you begin to access divine knowledge. Yeah. But accessing divine knowledge is available, come on, to every born-again believer. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither, look at this, can he know them. Right. See, you're locked out. Right. Because you're just too into the natural. Right. No condo bondo, you know what that means? No condemnation, no bondage. Yes. But there is a call of God, a calling, a beckoning, yes, as we close this service, to be more spiritual. And that doesn't mean be kooky weird. But it means to be more of a prayer person, more of a worshiper, more of a meditator in God's Word, more of a churchgoer, more of a Sunday class, so more of a disciple of Jesus. And through your cooperation, your relationship with the Holy Spirit, there is nothing you don't know about your life from God that you can't know. That you can't know. So I'm trying to finish verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Amen. And neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The will of God for your life is a spiritual thing. And it can only be known spiritually. Amen. Now, one of the things that God told me to do as we end is to give anyone that would like an opportunity to not just be born again, but to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, because in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you get a prayer language. Right. You've heard about it, right? Called speaking with tongues. Yeah. And I don't have time to teach you that, maybe next week. But this is where things really began to change for me. In understanding God's plan for my life. Was after I was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, around verse 2, that any man that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Amen. But to God. Yeah. For no man understands him. Amen. That's why many call it foolishness. See, anyone who calls speaking with tongues foolishness, I'm not against them, they're too natural. A spiritual thing is presented to them, and they call it foolishness because they're carnal, because that's what the natural mind thinks about these things. But if you're spiritually enlightened and biblically enlightened, you see that there is this experience available. You don't have to have this experience to go to heaven, but it sure helps while you're living on this earth. It says, no man understands him, but in the Spirit. This is what I want you to see. In the Spirit, he speaks secrets, divine secrets. So when I'm off by myself and I say, oh, Father, I want to know more about the plan of God for my life. So Holy Spirit, I know the only way I'm going to find it is through cooperation with you. And you've given me this wonderful utterance that I can talk to God and have divine secrets. There's no secret to God. It's a secret to me. That divine means of communication between me and my Father. And lomon denge and dando boshtende, and just take off praying in other tongues. And I'm going to show you this next week, Lord willing. Up from within your spirit, finally bubbles up in the heart the thing God wants you to do. What a wonderful gift. So I'd like everybody to stand on your feet, my wife to come to the keyboard.